When COVID-19 started, many of us entered into a new way of living that involved problem solving, restrictions, and new routines. Now, as we transition into a new phase, some people may feel restless, irritable, or anxious. On this edition of Health Styles, we're talking to professional counselor Michael Tozer from Sarah Bush Lincoln, who will provide some helpful insight and ideas that you can implement today.
Friends and neighbors, our hearts beat to heal yours. The Sarah Bush Lincoln Cardiovascular Team stands ready to save your life in ways that are safer, faster, less invasive, and in some situations, extraordinary. You see, that's why we're here, to treat you with first-class technology and simple human kindness. The Heart Center at Sarah Bush Lincoln. Trusted, compassionate care. Right here, close to home.
Welcome to Health Styles. I'm your host, Lori Banks, and we hope you're all doing well, and we're glad to be back talking with Michael Tozer, licensed clinical professional counselor at Sarah Bush Lincoln and member of the staff of the Outpatient Psychiatry Department. Now, the last time we talked with Michael, I remember this, Mike, it was St. Patrick's Day, and the COVID pandemic had really just kind of started taking hold and changing, you know, life for a lot of us. And so today we're recording this podcast on June 9th, and if you hear raindrops on the wall, there's a torrential rainstorm happening just outside with a lot of wind, so hopefully we won't have any thunder and lightning and lose power while we do this. But while some aspects of life have returned to normal, it's still not the way it used to be, and for some that is creating a bit of stress, anxiety, and maybe depression. So, Mike, let's start with just tell us a little bit about what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're talking about with your patients at this stage.
I think one of many things that I have noticed and have heard them talking about, initially everybody didn't know what was going on. Things were changing literally almost by the hour with information that came out. So everybody was in that mode of preparation and trying to gain understanding, and there was a lot of task orientation that went with that. Now, after it's been almost 3 months, we've kind of settled in and know a few more things, and we've become more restless with a lot of the restrictions that came with everything, and things aren't returning to what we know and what was familiar to us in a manner that is fast enough for us. So there's that is going on right now as people have become restless and had to try to maintain a lot of these restrictions, even though they're starting to loosen. It began to create some stress and anxiety, and people, we don't deal very well with restrictions, being told we can't do things, and it's just part of human nature. So started to hear a lot of restlessness and irritability, you know, some anxiety, problems with moods, feeling depressed, some people not wanting to get out of bed in the morning. And some people didn't have to get out of bed in the morning because they weren't working or they were working from home and there was more flexibility. There was some drinking increases. You know, I think liquor sales went up like over 50% in the first couple months of this. And some of that was because they couldn't go out and drink, so they had to buy at home. It wasn't necessarily reflected that way. But those are things that I was hearing as things were going on. Everybody was very task-oriented and had to do a lot of solution-focused things with their kids and with work and with finances. And then after that all got taken care of, then we had to kind of settle in like that long winter's nap, so to speak. And so that began to cause more things that I was describing.
So you said we're having a hard time dealing with restrictions. how do we get past that? Because there are going to be restrictions. Some of this is going to be a little bit like post 9/11 flying. You know, things did not go back to the way they were flying wise after 9/11. We're probably as a society going to have some restrictions that are going to last for a long time. So how do we get over that? So it's not creating a lot of anxiety and irritability for us.
Well, it's like anything else. When we first start out, any types of changes, when I talk about restrictions, you think of it in terms of if there's a restriction, then that means we have to change habits or change things that we are accustomed to doing in a particular way. Well, that's no different than if you decide to change your diet or start exercise or change any type of behavior that you want, that you're choosing to change. Like initially, you have a little bit more motivation because it's you that is choosing versus it being imposed on you. But it's still the same principle. After a while of that diet and that exercise program and it going over and over and over, day after day after day, unless we change some of the routines or we change a few things or make minor adjustments to them, we have a tendency to fall off and we either stop doing the behavior like with a diet or whatever. You just can't, it's really hard to do it in this situation. You just, you know, just falling off has different types of consequences to it. But it's the same type of principle, trying to find new things and different things, no matter how small they are, to change up the routine a little bit, change up some of the things that you can. The fact that they're letting up on some of the restrictions that we had provides us that opportunity. I mean, I was talking with someone the other day about they went to Terre Haute because more things are open, restaurants are open, you know, places are open that people can actually, you know, do some of the things that they were accustomed to doing. So they took that opportunity to do so. You know, Mattoon did the drive-in thing, but drive-ins are open, so doing stuff like that. So we have the opportunity, since the weather is better, to get out more, which is really good because then it's easier to follow some of the guidelines that the health people are talking about, the CDC and other people, where you can be a little bit more distance, but you can still be in a gathering of people, even though it's smaller, like you can do those things. So that's really, now we're getting that opportunity to do things like that.
So are you finding those things just are helping people to just feel better and a little more normal?
Yeah, even when I started to suggest that to some of the people recently, it hadn't occurred to them, like to start to do little things like that. You know, we become so routine again. You know, we've heard, you know, social distancing, wear a mask, you know, do this type of like cleaning and all of that. And again, it became a routine that when you get in routines, it's hard for us to think outside of the box or to think differently. And so even with suggestions about one or two little things that I've made with people, they were like, oh man, I didn't even think of that. And you could hear them like change their tone of voice. You could hear them be like, oh my goodness. Like they automatically, there was some immediate relief come over them. So I always tell people, don't underestimate small things, because several small things add up over time, which is really important in this situation.
Let's talk about another group of people who really had the pandemic affected them a lot. That was parents and kids. Yes. You know, all of a sudden you've got two parents probably working, kids go to school, and all of a sudden everyone's home and parents are having to do things they've never had to do before. A lot of stress there for that group of people.
Yes, there were. It was a combination of being a teacher and having to learn new technology. Like a lot of people in the work world, Zoom became an overnight sensation. So there was a lot of stress in just having to learn stuff like that. And then there was like parents are used to their children, for the most part, not wanting to do homework. But the battle is very much limited because it's usually only in a short period of time. Now it was the whole day. And so there were a lot more battles because the kids lost their routine as well. They lost their interaction at school and with friends and all of that. So they became irritable too. And they you know, all they were like, I'm at home, I'm doing school, and then I have to do this other stuff. Like, so they never got to escape the home environment as well. Well, then the parents didn't either, because a lot of them had to stay home and do that, or they were working from home. So you had parents working from home, trying to work from home and do schooling at the same time. So that really clashed, and parents became very stressed out in those situations. And it was very difficult to deal with because there's not a lot of things that you can say, like, can say, well, take the kids to a movie or take the kids to the park,
you
or take, you couldn't go anywhere. So it was really, it was very, very challenging. And some people just, you know, stayed stressed and their anxiety was higher during that time period. You know, we had to suggest at times, like, there are certain times when they're just not going to have to get that assignment done, or don't fight with them over this, and had to reevaluate the parenting type of style briefly. And that is, that was, you know, what battle do you really want to do? And maybe an extra day or an extra few hours of YouTube or video or whatever isn't necessarily a bad thing in the short term. Like trying to do some of the old your standards that you had, they had to be flexible for a bit. And the thing about it was a, for a short time, things now that school is done, you know, are much better. And I've been hearing the audible sighs of relief from the parents as well as the teachers.
Let's talk about another group of people who've been really, you know, on the front lines, and that's why they're called frontline workers. A lot of stress for those folks because they're in this all day, every day.
You saw it, bigger cities was very, very inundated. It took a little bit longer here from just like by seeing things that transpired. But, you know, now there have been more deaths related to this, and there's more people having to, you know, that are effective, and we have more positive cases, you know, as time went on. And you just don't get a relief from it. You know, as a frontline worker, it's like it's an everyday thing. It's, do I have all the, you know, PPO that I need? And it wasn't just from the healthcare workers here. It was also from EMTs and police officers and things. And so, you know, every call, you couldn't social distance every call, you know, especially as a police officer. I mean, because you know, it's hard to social distance when you're putting handcuffs on somebody. So they're still at it, and so they've never really had a relief right now. And there are some things that are beginning to happen and starting to see. It's like the fatigue is beginning to take a toll. It seemed to happen much quicker in bigger cities, but it's starting to happen more here. So we are starting to see, I am starting to hear some of that happening here as well.
So what advice do you give those people?
It really begins to come down to, it's very, very important to do the most that you can as a healthcare worker, especially a frontline worker, to take the necessary steps to take care of yourself, the things that we always talk about in general, but really to try to keep up on them. But also the team approach at work with them becomes very, very important. I'm actually part of a group that is working on compassion fatigue, you know, amongst healthcare workers, and we're meeting today actually. So we're helping, trying to generate some ideas for people. But, you know, being able to, how supportive people are at work, you know, from the top down, you know, day to day, even hour to hour, there being able to take mini breaks, being able to take care of yourself while on the job, you know, some people will forget to eat lunch because they feel so busy, and they are busy, but little things like that, they can't be ignored, and it really comes back to a lot of those little things that are necessary to take care of themselves.
Well, and our healthcare workers also have the stress of, you know, when they come home, ensuring that they're not accidentally passing the virus on to their loved ones.
Yes, and that's the one thing I hear. I've heard less about people worrying about their own contamination, whether it be healthcare worker or the general public, as much as they are passing it along to family. They have a bigger, that seems to be more of a concern that I hear out of people, which is a legitimate one, but also is very stressful for them. And they've come up with routines and ways to do that with their families, so they can kind of alleviate some of that stress and know that they're doing the best that they can and the most that they can to reduce that.
Let's talk about the role of social media. We talked a little bit about this when we visited with you back in March, how social media can play into increased anxiety and stress, whether it's, you know, things about COVID, wearing a mask. You're seeing a lot, you're seeing people for and against, maybe some negative comments, some things that are not very, very kind, very hateful. Is that creating issues for people?
Yes, I mean, we can't ignore the current events of the day.
Right.
And so people are very fascinated by that. They're watching what's going on with the whole situation with the rioting and the protest. And that just sort of, you know, increased and amped up things. And it's very important, but it also can be very stressful to have that steady stream of that diet, you know, visually and auditory. And it initially, a lot of it was, you saw a lot of the things like, you know, Heroes Work Here, which is what we adopted, and a lot of that kind of support for take care of each other, whatever. And it's starting to change. The tenor of it is starting to change. And that as things change and you've got more political commentary, you've got a lot of video stuff out there of just people in general, you know, recording, you know, any chance to record somebody doing something like and getting posted out there. And it goes back to, we still need to practice now what we were practicing early, and is like, we have to limit our exposure to it because it can become overwhelming. Some people can do it and okay, it's, you know, they're okay with it. But I do hear a lot of the people that I talk with in sessions and even outside of it, it's like they need to break. They're like, oh my gosh, it's just, it becomes so overwhelming to them sometimes, and that's what I hear. So it's hard because you get fascinated and hooked in, and there's some very important things that we need to know about. So we have to make sure that we're identifying, like, when we're starting to feel that stress and overwhelm, and they're like, I can't hear one more thing about this, taking a break from it for enough time to reset.
So let's talk about some advice. What would you say to people out there who are feeling increased anxiety, maybe a little depression, just not sure what to do?
So the little things, again, become important. Creativity can become important as well. For example, you know, one of our neighboring states, Indiana, you know, they're a little bit more open and they allow a little bit more freedoms than Illinois does right now. When I talk about everything and doing these things, it's always with the undercurrent and with the knowledge that to practice all the safety, you know, that is recommended. But people, I've, you know, suggested if they feel comfortable, if they feel comfortable enough to go and do something in Terre Haute or somewhere over there where they feel safe enough and they take all the precautions, like to do things like that, like go to a restaurant just to have a meal or to go to some other thing. I think camping is one of those things right now where people are a lot of people are trying to get to, just to do something that, number one, they love to do, but number two, it provides them that opportunity not to feel like they're in a rut, and a lot of people camp for the freedom of it, for being outdoors and all of that. And it's challenging because sometimes, you know, you are in situations where not everybody else practices, you know, the same thing. So it can be challenging. You have to be very cautious. And I say, if you get into a position, you choose to do something like that, and you feel like people are being unsafe, or for you it's unsafe, then you can leave the situation and always give yourself that option. But the little things, doing little creative things, you know, the drive-ins are becoming popular. Instead of going to the movie theater, that can be an option. Other people are having, like, they've bought little outdoor screens and found a way to project movies. And they've had a few people over and done movie nights. So little things like that, creative things like that, are always very, very helpful. The other thing that's more difficult to do is finding, like, what is positive out of what's happening. So, for example, one person said, well, I hope that they continue this. You can go to Walmart and they throw all your groceries in the trunk of your car and you can go home instead of having to go into Walmart. You know, so they said, so it's like finding little things that, you know, are positive for them or for others to be able to do that. Home improvement and cleaning seems to have been something that has become a positive here. More and more people are doing things like that as well. They're finally getting to tasks, even though that they can be hard to do, or like they're not our favorite thing to do. Like, people are feeling better because they're getting tasks done that have been hanging over their heads. So looking at little positive things that can come out of something like that. And it's hard because people don't want to do that. And this is the conversations I've been having. Like, how can I look at something positive for all the negative that comes out of this, the people dying and the people getting sick and all of that. And, you know, it's okay to know both of those things. It's okay to feel positive and to feel sad and afraid for these other things. Like, they don't have to be exclusive. You don't have to wait to feel good until this is all over. So, but it's hard because people don't want to talk about that, or they don't want to. They say, I really hate to admit this, but, you know, I'm glad I was able to do this. I'm glad I was able to stay home, you know, for a while. I was glad that I got to get that one project or those two projects done. But, like, that sounds so terrible given all of what's going on. And it's like, okay, you know, that's all right that you're experiencing both things, because both things are reality.
So at what point do you recommend someone speak to a professional?
If things continue, like if you can't find a way to get out of the depression or the depressed mood or the drinking or the, you know, the anxiety, if those things don't seem to be getting any better, if you're trying to do things and they just don't seem to be working, you know, that might be the time when you talk to a professional, like you get in contact with a therapist, talk to your primary care provider, you know, about it, so they can maybe help with some recommendations. But if this stuff seems to sustain and get worse or doesn't go away, those things are going on, then that's when you may want to do that. And it's just going to be up to the individual when too much is too much. Obviously, you know, if people begin to, you know, begin to think about hurting themselves or someone else, that, yeah, definitely that needs to happen. You don't have to wait to that point. So that's what I would suggest to people. If it just doesn't seem to be getting better for you, then you probably need to reach out and talk to someone.
Okay. Michael, is there anything else you wanted to add for our listeners today?
I think overall that I would say, know that you're not alone in feeling restricted. You're not alone in feeling fed up with having to wear a mask. You know, you're not alone with the stress involved and being tired of all this. It's all pretty normal to feel that way right now. And it's real easy to kind of let up on things that we may need to do. And that's okay to have thoughts and feelings like that. So if you need some help, whether it's through a professional or just reaching out to friends to like kind of get that support to remind ourselves, yeah, we're in this for a while. Let's, you know, I need to keep, you know, being diligent about some of these things, like reach out and get that support and help that you need, because doing it by yourself is going to be so much harder.
All right. Great advice, Mike. It's great to talk to you again. Thank you for stopping by and visiting with us.
Well, thanks for having me again.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you know when new content is added. You can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on our website at sarahbush.org/podcasts. And don't forget to connect with us on social media by searching Sarah Bush Lincoln. I'm Lori Banks. Thanks for listening and have a great day.